With me, we've got John Safran, author, broadcaster, TV star, and wannabe musician, and he's going to reveal to us what he's discovered during the making of this show. Good morning, John.
Wannabe musician, that's quite scathing.
Well, I did know, you know.
True. Stop. Stop insulting me with your accuracy.
We're all wannabe musicians, really.
Yes.
Now, this has been one of the longest election campaigns in living memory. We've been flooded with information from the major parties and their slogans. You've managed to dig behind the scenes to the smaller parties in this new show on Sunday. Were you surprised by what you found?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was off on it's called the goddamn election, and that's not just me trying to use a curse word. That's because of God, you know, religion, and that's kind of what I'm interested in. And anyway, last year I started writing a book. I started turning up to these anti-Islam rallies, you know, the ones who were like protesting mosques and everything, and kind of getting in deep with that ecosystem and all the different groups and people involved in that. And then the election's called, and suddenly several people involved in those movements are running for parliament. So I thought, okay, I'll put the brakes on the book for a bit and go off and do an election special about some of these people who are, you know, trying to get into parliament on the anti-Islam ticket.
So is that a real, like, trend going on? It seems, obviously, it's funny that you were sort of doing this sort of other, you know, story. You're writing another book, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you just find that all these people are starting to run for office or trying to get some votes. Is there some sort of link between, you know, minority religious fanatics and politics?
Well, perhaps. I'm just sort of guessing, but I guess the last election, people like Ricky Muir and Clive Palmer, and you know, that they got in. So now everyone's got like this hope. There's a reference point for being, you know, in a micro party and being on the fringes and actually ending up on the crossbenches. So I think that excited a few people. One of the parties I looked up called Rise Up Australia. It's run by this Sri Lankan immigrant called Pastor Daniel Nalia. Mm-hmm. And his party is very multi-ethnic. And he also runs a church. And you're very multi-ethnic. And you have, you know, people from, yeah, you know, Africa, and you've got Indians and Asians and Islanders, and it's a big immigrant party, and they just don't get that the rule is you're not meant to sort of like, you know, talk about religion when you talk about politics. So they'll just like proudly and no inhibitions be like, oh no, it'd be really good if there were like some Christians in Parliament because like the Bible's true. And it's a good guide to life. And so, we're going to try to get in Parliament. And it's like, oh, that's weird. It's kind of weird to hear.
It's quite baffling. But it seems to be a bit of a theme running for the micro parties that there's quite a religious element to them. If they did happen to get enough votes or preferences or whatnot to get some sort of say in Parliament, you know, we could see a whole, you know, different ball game. You know, they're going to start trying to throw ideas around with the major parties, not going to pass things through if, you know, they don't get some sort of say. Could you see that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that Pauline Hanson will probably get in, but and also the whole thing of preferences is like makes my head explode or whatever. There is a thing that they've like perhaps all these micro parties, like just because of the way things have been set up this election, that like there's not much hope, but you know, you never know. I mean, stranger things have happened. But and I think absolutely they kind of push for things. I mean, even internally with the parties, like with the Liberal Party, you know, they've got members who are Christian, and like Corey Bernardi, and you know, Malcolm Turnbull has to kind of work around him. So yeah, I think absolutely. So
I feel like benches. A majority of the Liberal Party are probably religious.
Yeah.
They just don't reveal it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Like, I just wouldn't know.
How many micro parties did you come across during this? How many are there out there?
Oh, there's heaps. There's so many that we sort of tried to. Well, we did. We concentrated on strange alliances. Like, for instance, the fact that Pastor Daniel, that guy I was talking about, who's running, and his Rise Up Australia party, that they kind of got an alliance with the United Patriots Front, which is kind of seen as a white nationalist.
That's a weird
group.
Connection.
Yeah, and the United Patriots Front, they were putting up, they were hoping to get a party together for the election, and the party called Fortitude, and they went around Australia trying to sign up members, but they didn't end up getting enough members when push came to shove. But, yeah, they, well, it's because they're both anti-Islam, so they sort of overlook the other things.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, yeah. And so, and we also looked at whether this other party, Australian Liberty Alliance, I kind of, in a fun way, kind of look at whether, you know, there's lots of Jewish members in that, and try to, that's the rumour I heard, was it, that's another anti-Islam party.
Right.
And the rumour I heard was that, oh, you know, it's actually, you know, it's, you know, there's Jewish people in it, and you know, because Jewish people who are pro-Israel, and they're, and so therefore they've got a problem with Islam, and anyway, so I explore that issue.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Did you come across anyone during the making of the show that or your book that you can see as like a legitimate major player in politics who could step up into the major parties, or are they all sort of bit part players? You know, no one's really got a.
One way of answering that is that. One thing I've noticed with a lot of these people that is that they sort of don't know how to adjust their presentation to like appeal to a mainstream audience. Like none of them could ever be on Q&A because they're all too like strange.
But no, they, you won't. They will be on because they'll create controversy.
Well, they're strange, and they're not aware that they're strange. One of the things that I keep on coming across is there's these people, and they're strange. Like in the case of Pastor Daniel, he's an evangelical Christian, and so even that alone makes him different to like most Australians.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm not saying for worse or anything, but he just doesn't see it that way. He just processes it as, oh, there's us non-Muslims and we're the regular people, and then there's the Muslims and they're strange. And I'm like, man, you're strange too. And like, I kind of talked to one of the guys from the United Patriots Front about this, where I just said, you guys, can't you see that you're strange? And he just didn't get it. Like, and all these people just don't get that they're so strange. And for that reason, there's probably a limit to how appealing they're going to be. Because I spoke to Pauline Hanson.
Oh, indeed.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I kind of was speaking to some people. It was at a shopping center. I was speaking to some people afterwards about it. About Pauline Hanson, it was really interesting how everyone sort of, like, it was very important to people that they processed her as just being this normal woman and this sort of, like, this individual they could empathize with, like, an Australian who had a struggle. So the fact that she was, you know, harangued and, like, it's like, oh, I can relate to that because, you know, I have struggles in my life too. So even for her, even though people might think she's a weirdo, I think she's got appeal, and she might get in, and it's because I think to lots of people she doesn't come across as weird.
She's been normalized.
Comes across as a regular person.
Yeah. And she, I saw in a little clip of the show that she said she wasn't sure about talking to you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But then she did talk to me. Well, I wanted to talk to her because she's formed an alliance with Pastor Daniel. That guy I was talking about, and he, Pastor Daniel, immigrated from an Asian country in the late 1990s, and in the late 1990s, Pauline Hanson was, we don't want any immigrants from Asian countries.
Yeah.
So I sort of wanted to come up to her like 20 years later and say, hang on, like if we would have followed your logic, Pastor Daniel never would have come here, but now you're in an alliance with him. And of course she had some answer, like all politicians do. She tried to deny that she was ever anti-Asian, which I found really weird.
But you've got footage of her saying, you know, we don't want them to come to our shores, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
I found
it like really strange. I kind of get on with these. I like these fringe people a lot more than the major politicians because...
Hey, they say what they mean.
They're kind of like unpolished like I'm unpolished. And I've noticed, like whenever I'm talking to like someone from the Labor or Liberal Party, they always just know blah, blah. They just know how to sort of like just throw out a wall of
They answer
mush.
Questions with questions, right? And that's
a wall of mush that sort of like you never get anywhere. Also, I've noticed like when everyone's talking like someone like Pauline Hanson or even people like more fringe than that, we both sort of like stumble our sentences over each other and we're all sort of like unpolished and you start saying something and it's sort of like, and so we form this weird kind of bad sentence sayer alliance. Like we have this sort of like empathy with each other. It's like, oh my God, you're just like me. You have these like thoughts in your head, but then when they come out as sentences, they don't always come out.
Well, maybe maybe you should be starting a minor party, John.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, perfect for it. Look, we better start wrapping it up. This is a one-off show for the election, of course. It seems to have stemmed from you writing a new book, which is exciting.
Yes.
When can we see that on our hot little shelves?
Either at the end of this year or the start of next year.
Fantastic.
Depending on when I hand in the manuscript. But the book's gonna is like I look into all these things in a sort of more layered way.
Mm-hmm. And I guess Murder in Mississippi, of course, was a fantastic book you did a few years back now. And
yes.
I guess that was sort of wrapped around a show as well. And then you went back and investigated further.
Yes.
And this one's the other way around. You've started the book and then you've done a show out of the book.
And that is true.
Interesting. So you're not on our radio with Father Bob every week now, but you two still chat to see a lot on Twitter, you know, back and forth. Do you still hang out with Father Bob a lot?
Well, Bob makes an appearance in the show on Sunday night.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Well, it's good to
see. So he's always good. He's good for the show because he can say, like, the PC things that need to be said in a sort of fun way, you know. Like, or else we've just got some tedious normal person on going, oh, racism's bad. Don't be racist. And it's like, oh, Jesus, that's so boring. And then it's sort of like Bob will come on and just say that what needs to be said, but sort of like in a more... in a Bob way.
He has that knack, doesn't he? He can just say things. And he says things with authority, I feel like, you know, even...
he's a priest.
He's got the authority of God behind him.
Yes.
Well, fantastic. We're looking forward to the show. It's on Sunday night on SBS, 8:30?
8:30?
I'm not sure.
Yes, 8:30.
good. 8:30 is SBS Sunday night. You can find out what the minor parties who could be having some sort of balance of power in the government to come. Let's find out what they're all about. John Safran, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER.
Cool. Thank you very much.